It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, I felt like yesterday, this is like the first time in D'Amico Ryan's coaching career here that he's getting hit with the like hit and re-hit with some of the strategic in-game stuff, you know, along with just this offensive line is a major, major sore on this team right now where you've got to start to ask questions about, hey, man, what are we doing here? Like, are we going to make some changes? Are we going to, you know, personnel, staff, what are we doing? So he was asked about stuff yesterday. Let's start with the in-game decision-making. He did not get asked about this after the game on Sunday, which I thought was a little strange. But a big play in this game on Sunday was the lateral that was called an incomplete pass in the first half where the referee called an incomplete pass. Jordan Love was lateraling it, I believe, to Reed, and he dropped it, went on the ground. Foley Fatakasi falls on it, but it was called an incomplete pass. Challengeable because it was a clear recovery by the Texans. They didn't challenge it. I think they would have had a decent chance at winning it, as did Gene Steratore, the rules expert on the broadcast. He thought they would have had a decent chance of winning that, and that would have been a huge play. You're changing possession, made even huger by the fact that the very next play, the Packers score a long touchdown to Wicks to go up 14-10. And it was a play where D'Amico was going nuts on the sideline about something, whether it was personnel they had on the field, something.
Yeah, yeah. I think that part of it, I'm pretty sure, was about the defense.
Yeah.
They looked like they were a little out of joint.
Yeah, because if he wanted to challenge it, he would just throw in his red flag. You know, So he was asked about it yesterday, thankfully. And did you consider challenging that play?
Yeah, from the guys upstairs, it wasn't, and they thought it was forward. So, I mean, looking back at it, yeah, should I have challenged it? Yes, yeah, it's always, you know, you look back, hindsight is always 20/20. So you're looking back, like, should I throw the challenge? You know, maybe throw it there. So I look at myself, too, like, wish I would have thrown it there just to force them to make a decision.
Yeah, so that was a failure from the guys upstairs. That should have been challenged.
Well, you know what, though? I always hesitate to say it's a failure from the guys upstairs because the craziest thing, unless they've changed this in the last year or two and I didn't know it, the coaches don't have access to anything other than the television.
Right.
So, like, they are – that's why I get so – CBS sucks with their replays. They don't show replays quickly enough.
Yep.
I think by the time that they had the rules analyst on there explaining it and showing that angle, it might have been too late already.
Maybe.
Or the timing of it. So that's the – like, yeah, there's no DVR up there or anything. So I think it's forgivable given the way that the stupid way that the NFL does the replay stuff.
Yeah, well, and I guess what, you know, my tolerance for risk might be different than the Texans' tolerance for risk. Like, my feeling on replay is that I think there are good replay challenges where you only have maybe a 30% chance of winning it. If the upside is you're getting possession of the football, like, if you have a 30% chance of winning, like, a spot that makes it 2nd and 9 instead of 2nd and 7, you know, instead of 2nd and 11 or something silly like that where the payoff is not very good, or it's an 8-yard completion, guy got his feet in, it was called incomplete, then it's silly to challenge something like that. Something where you get possession of the football in your own territory is huge. I would have thrown the challenge flag on that just based on the possibility of winning it there. But the Texans may have a different philosophy than that, so I'm willing to listen to that. D'Amico wishes he threw it, obviously, there.
Yeah, I guess the big thing on that one was on the TV copy, I thought it was less convincing than the replay. And especially given the story, I mean, the two big man what if moments in that game were Neville Hewitt and that illegal tackle, the unsportsmanlike, that extended that drive.
Yep.
It just seems like it's hard because you love the way Neville Hewitt's been playing in relief and everything about
that was a dumb
his appetite for violence. Yeah. But yeah, that was a dumb play.
Yep.
And then that, you could just, two little things that aren't necessarily, don't have anything to do with the actual play on the field, but that you could have just changed those two little things and
might be
there
a different game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be a different game. He was also asked, D'Amico was, as he was in the post game. This Landry asked him about this and hit him with a good follow-up question, too, I thought. The last play the Texans ran from scrimmage in that game before the go-ahead field goal was the 3rd and 15 with 1:50 to go about, with Green Bay having one timeout left. You'd like on that play to at least keep the clock moving so Green Bay's got to use their last timeout so they'll go into their final drive with no timeouts left. The Texans ran just, I thought, was a silly play there. A sideline route to Tank Dell that was incomplete. So the clock stops. Even if Tank had caught it, the clock would have stopped because Tank would have been sliding out of bounds untouched if he had caught the football about 7 yards short of the sticks. It was not a smart play there. D'Amico was asked about that.
Yeah, we had a one-on-one opportunity right there. We had to win that one-on-one opportunity, which, you know, we put Tank and CJ in that spot to win a one-on-one opportunity, and we didn't make the play, didn't get it done. Yeah, the goal is to complete the pass.
Get out of bounds.
The goal is to complete the pass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Landry hit him with some follow-ups there, like, yeah, but you were short of the sticks. The goal is to complete the pass. That was not nearly as good an answer as the one about I should have challenged the lateral play.
No, and honestly, the part that I'm still perplexed by is CJ, and it didn't really fall, the significance of this didn't really hit me until after the show yesterday, even though I'd listened to the clip a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, CJ was uninformed and unaware of what the strategy was there. And
going into the drive, it sounds.
Yeah, and say he tries to talk to D'Amico, but there's not a lot of time. And
a 2-minute warning to talk about it.
Yeah, like, so what? At some point, I feel like on that third down, your quarterback, it's almost disrespectful to CJ that you haven't told him at some point, like, listen, it's either a touchdown or pull the ball down and run it.
Yeah.
Just keep the clock rolling as much as you can.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was one-on-one. And I guess the option would have been, okay, if the coverage had been a little bit different, maybe you would have extended that to a fade or something, which doesn't really do you a lot of favors either in terms of if he runs a corner out to the end zone in terms of time management.
The only acceptable throw that stops the clock is a throw into the end zone. That's the only acceptable
way. Either that or something easy, you know, a screen or something that's easy in the middle of the field.
I'm saying a throw that stops the clock, you know. Like
A
throw that stops the clock. Like, if they had thrown into the end zone and Green Bay doesn't use their last timeout, I would have said, okay, that makes sense, though. You're trying to take more than a one-point lead or a two-point lead in the game, whatever it was at the time.
Ultimately, you know, maybe it doesn't matter anyway, but, you get a few less plays for the offense to operate. They start operating a little bit differently, a little bit more desperately out of the gun on that last drive.
Yeah.
But regardless of what would have happened afterwards, it seemed like the strategy was, all right, we're going to run. Then we're going to run on set. It's one thing to run on first down. I know everybody's got complicated feelings about that. But at the very least, Joe Mixon had some success running the ball in that game.
Yep.
You run on first down, okay, into a loaded box, okay. But now it's second and long. Clearly your strategy here is to burn clock because you run again on second down, take another loss.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you just pivot into, oh no, we're gonna try to get closer to a field goal on a play that's gonna go out of bounds and not chew up clock. Like, what are we even doing here?
On a 35-yard field goal. Like, you've got a guy that's kicking 55 yarders on the regular all year.
Look, I'm not a mathematician or a statistician, but I feel like the difference in probability from the 35-yard field goal to the shorter field goal compared to taking a timeout away from the opponent, if you've already been playing clock chewing strategy. Yep. It's the pivot that annoys me more than anything.
No doubt. And it's disconcerting that it feels like we don't know the whole story. You know, it feels like there is something about that last drive against Green Bay that was amiss. And it's either CJ wasn't as informed as he should have been as to what the goal was. That quite honestly, Seth, that answer that D'Amico gave about the 3rd and 15, he might have been protecting a CJ brain fart at that point. CJ drops back, tanks open. He's been sacked and hit a jillion times that day. I'm going to get rid of it here. So there's that possibility. We just don't know, but we know this. We know it did not end in the most optimal way. It ended with a field goal, which is great. But there were silly things going on at the end.
It was unknown. And it's the CJ not being aware of what the strategy was, no conversation with him being had about it. Like, what's your decision-making in that moment?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's a good point. Maybe CJ did just... Except the way he answered afterwards, it didn't look like he was trying to blame anybody or anything. He was giving an honest question, an honest answer about how it was going on. It just... It speaks to a lot of, I think, what we've seen. And what I was nervous about during training camp was when you start hearing people talk a lot about, like, yeah, well, last year we got the basics down, but now we're at that 300 level of, you know, trying to do stuff that's more elevated. Yeah, but you know what? And this, man, in professional sports, it's same as in high school sports, you can never, ever, ever forget get the basics and getting the basics right. And there's some of the basics with the offense right now that they're just flat out not doing well.
Yep.
On the offensive line and with the offense in general, the communication is bogus pre-snap.
Yeah.
There's times where Juice Scruggs is still struggling to identify and make calls like right up to the snap.
Yeah.
And the guys, it's clear at times. It's clear at times that not everybody on the offensive line and in the backfield is on the same page as to even what type of protection they're supposed to be running. There's times where the offensive tackle and the running back are trying to block the same guy where one of those guys screwed up. And it's impossible without knowing the rules in any given situation versus looks exact. But the miscommunication is clear. And that's like, okay... You're out there trying to do calculus when you don't know your 2 + 2.
Arithmetic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
D'Amico was asked yesterday, so we did the in-game decision-making, thought he answered the lateral play well, the 3rd and 15, I'm just never going to get to where D'Amico was on that. We had a one-on-one matchup, okay. Staff and personnel questions. Here was D'Amico saying everything on the table right now.
We have a lot of things to clean up when it comes to, you know, our protection, and it's everyone involved, right? O-line, tight ends, backs, is everybody working together, being on the same page, and just getting it done. Like, we've had multiple weeks where the same things have hurt us multiple times, so we have to get it fixed, starting with the coaches and out to the, down to the players of finishing and executing it. Yeah, for me, everything is on the table. When it comes to it, has to get fixed. When it comes to it, I know how we're coached, what we're asking to be done, and it's just, it's not showing up on the tape. So it's, and it's not just one person, it's the entire thing. So it's just the entire offense from the top to the bottom. We have to get it cleaned up. Not one person or one thing, but multiple things, multiple issues that we have to get collectively, we have to get it fixed.
Okay.
I'm interested in when we talk to Ross Tucker in 27 minutes. A listener asked a question yesterday, which I thought was a good question. What's the likelihood? Like, how reasonable is it to expect the position group to improve during a season?
Good question.
And I think on the offensive line, that might be the position group where there's the most chance for improvement at any given point in the year, because it's so technical and there's just so much that you can do and fix in terms of technique and communication and all of that. And yet, that only works if you've got a really good coach. So yeah. I gotta go check the timelines and see if, I believe Ross Tucker played for Dante Scarnecchia.
Yeah, I was thinking about Dante Scarnecchia yesterday. Yeah. I'm like, what's he up to these days?
One of the best offensive line coaches in this century and for the Patriots forever. They brought him out of retirement once to try to fix the issues they were having.
Yeah, I was watching some of the Belichick clips on the McAfee show yesterday, and I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
What's Scarnecchia up to these days?
I wonder if, you think Belichick would want to come be an offensive line coach?
No.
That'd be awesome.
If he didn't have that little hot girlfriend there, he might, you know, but he's got a lot on his hands right now, man.
Do you remember when Paul Pasqualoni was, what was he coaching?
He was the D-line coach.
Oh, that's right, the D-line coach. It was so weird.
Yeah.
It was so weird seeing Pasqualoni out there as a defense. Yeah, I know, here. I just couldn't remember which group. It's strange when somebody that's so ingrained in your brain as a head coach is out there doing something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Belichick, a little bit different reputation than Pasqualoni.
A little bit. I also think, too, with the offensive line, as you were laying out, like, maybe the upside of, you know, it's technical stuff, so it's fixable. I also think, as we get names texted to us here of who the Texans should go after with other teams, someone saying trade for Joel Bitonio. Yeah, he'd be a clear upgrade over Kenyon Green. I also think the offensive line is the hardest position to import improvement on as well. Like, I think these are the guys, the guys that are in that, and maybe not these five. Maybe they replace Kenyon Green with Kendrick Green or Jared Patterson. But that, to me, that position group is the one that's the hardest to go, like, oh, we'll just go get this guy at the trade deadline, that kind of thing.
You know? I think the tough thing, though, too, is going back to the potentially systemic issues, the miscommunications, all of that. Another part of it, I think, is simply, as various people mentioned yesterday, the D'Amico and one of the other players talked about this, just actually getting up to the line and, you know, getting the call in earlier, getting guys time to process things up on the offensive line, all of that. That goes back to Bobby Slowick as well.
Yep.
The whole operation, you know, that old, remember that old Far Side cartoon of the kid trying to enter the school for gifted children, and he's pushing on the door that says pull.
Yeah.
Like that's what the offense feels like right now. They're trying to be super nerds, and yet they're screwing up the really simple and stupid stuff.
It's a good analogy.
And a lot of that comes back to coaching. It's Bobby Slowick, it's Chris Strausser, and you've got guys underperforming on the offensive line that you're locked into expensive contracts.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about that later in the show, like how fixable is this via change of personnel? I don't think it is, at least not this season.
Yeah, no, so my point being, even if you bring in a Joel Bitonio or something like that, he can only go as far as the group can go with
the instruction they
have.
Yeah. It's a different position group. All right, headlines coming up next. Hey, we got to get to the Rockets. They made some moves yesterday. We'll get to them. Monday Night Football last night. Big injuries going on in the NFL right now. My God. We'll get to that as well. That's all coming up next. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.